The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here is what's coming up on today's experience. Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show have nothing to do with life, but man, they're funny and entertaining. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. We are actually going to cover some of that this afternoon. Plus, life lessons for our faith that we can use, like the practicality of use, like actually using them. Wow. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 1,800 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here's the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen. We don't care. For the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. And what you'll find out is you might have an opinion. You might have a comment to some of the things I share. You might have a thought or even a question. Well, we encourage you to participate with any of those things happening in your life and connecting those to our lives. Why? The main reason is because there's power in fellowship when we're supporting one another. And so we want you to have that opportunity. You can talk to us about something the Lord's working on in your life. You can talk to us about a prayer request, a praise report. We do Bible trivia. And we also answer questions. If it's not too deep theologically, we try and answer them right on the spot. Otherwise, we give it a couple of days, give me a chance to research it, and we look it up, and then we get back to you with what we think is the best that we can do in that particular question. Here's the bottom line. Don't let these thoughts, opinions, comments, or questions die of loneliness. Just call us at 972-445-0770, 972-445-0770. When you do call, you're going to get terrific tea. And here I'm going to change how we do this format. Ready? When you do call, it's nice. Yeah, that's it. That's all I'm saying about that. You like that? It's nice. And she answers, she's really nice. And so that's a big thing. You can also text us, 214-210-8483, 214-210-8483, and then you can email us while we're doing the show, david@hemustincrease.org, david@hemustincrease.org. Speaking of which, that's our website where we have the opportunity to share different things with you. I have a picture up there of our latest animal that has been adopted into our family. Gives you a chance to check out our new addition, Bert Wayne Spoon. Don't ask. But they're doing much better. The first week was a little bit of an adjustment week. You know, when you get a puppy initially and you have an older dog, it takes a little bit. But in the last 2 days, they've been playing really, really good together, although Levi has made it quite clear who's in charge, not only because Bert only weighs about 9 or 10 pounds, but Levi weighs 80 pounds. So it pretty much tells you what's going on there. The latest thing is Levi takes some kind of toy and then puts it in front of Bert, and Bert goes to grab it, and then Levi moves his head. I wonder where dogs learn that kind of behavior. Can't be us. Anyway. All right, let's not forget about our website, though, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, a lot of people who listen to the show have an idea, a little bit, of what we go through, what I'm going through personally. So I'm in a PhD / doctorate program on theology and apologetics. This weekend I had to read three books, okay, which I didn't have to read all of all three, but I decided there was one portion that I would copy off and show it to Noelle, my wife, and also my best friend, just so she could know what I have to try and absorb. So I gave her the piece of paper. She read it over the weekend right in front of me. She read it. Now, she reads a whole page. And it's just a paragraph in my book. Okay. Then she looks at me, and she goes, "What is this?" And I said, "That's kind of the stuff I have to read. That's a paragraph out of one of the pages, out of the 50 pages out of this book." She goes, "What does it say? What does it mean? Why did the person write it? What has it got to do with life? I don't get it." So I thought that was rather funny, because that's some of the education that you get. You think, this is really good. He's getting all this education. Like, not always. And one of the stats that came out in some of our study was the practicality of the use of the Word of God. And that's what I want to talk to you about just real quickly. And that is using your faith in life, in the encounter of your life, using the Word, using your prayer time, using all of these things as part of our process to figure things out. So something came up this morning, and I kind of went through a little bit of a process on it, and I thought that's a perfect thing to share, to show the practicality of how you do some of this stuff. It's not that I have all the answers. I do not. I am not your pastor. I am not a teacher. I am not any of the five-fold ministry, although evangelist every once in a while, because I like to encourage the body with the gospel. The bottom line is I just go through the same stuff you do. I'm just like a big brother. And as your big brother, who's maybe not older, old enough in the faith to know that there's some things you go through, and we all go through it, and I want to share with you something I went through. So this morning I woke up, and I had these two very interesting engagements. We'd even say they're opportunities. I mean, that would be a fair thing to say. Now, here's what I want you to understand about these opportunities. If I engaged with them, one or the other, it would be both good and bad. Okay, so it would be kind of beneficial, but then there's some things that would be negative, and so you just kind of think it through. So I thought about this, and the reason I'm bringing this up is I want to show you the practicality. So I come across this opportunity. I come across this engagement. There's two of them. I just think that's weird, because normally it's only one, but there's two of them. So I can do one, the other, neither, or both. Hey, that's my opportunity right there as a normal human being. Doing both is not really possible, so that's really not in play right now. But as I'm facing this opportunity, I can do one or the other, and there's good and bad in all of it. So what I decided to do was go through a process that I want to share with you. It's not an absolute perfect use this specifically process, but it's a good way to practically use your faith in making decisions about certain things that come across that you're not sure about. If somebody gives you a check for $1 million and said there's no attachment, all you got to do is sign it and put it in the bank, nothing about it, it doesn't take a whole lot of decision-making power to go, okay, right? It's not, especially if there's no attachment, right? So here's the couple of things I came up with that I went through this morning that I think are helpful. First and foremost, I meditated on it. Now, by meditation, you hear the word meditation, and everybody thinks somebody's holding their hands up in the air, and they're going, om, om, om. Don't do that. Scripture talks about meditation in the Old and the New Testament. It's important to understand that we meditate. To meditate is to think about it. No. That is so common, it's unbelievable. And in scriptural meditation, it's to flip it over and over and over again. Just like you do scriptures, you can take a situation or an opportunity in your life and flip it over and over again. Think about it. There's good, there's bad. The fact that I know that there's good and bad tells you I've thought about it. And I said, well, this could be a positive, this could be a negative, this could go up, this could go down, I don't know. And that's just the practicality of normally meditating on it. You know, I'm trying to be quiet before the Lord and just think about all the ins and the outs, kind of like the burger scenario, right? Then I bring it to prayer. Because once I've thought about this object, or once I thought about this open door, this opportunity, I think God is the one that's got to give me the ultimate input, and I don't want to wait to bring it to him at the end. I'm going to bring it to him now. Now that I thought about it and decided there's a possibility, there's a maybe in there, I'll bring it before the Lord, because he's the king, he's in charge, and I don't have to freak out about it. So I bring it before the Lord, and I surrender it, and I say, I can see this part's negative, this part's positive, but I don't have any idea whether this is from you or not, and I want to make sure, and I want to have that comfort zone, and I want you to give me direction one way or another. So I think about something, then I pray about it, because prayer is the place to start. Once you think it through, prayer is the place to start. When Jonah was thrown out in the water, that might have been a good time to pray. When Jonah was getting eaten by the big fish, that would have been a great time to pray. He waited a couple of days and then he prayed. Seems kind of weird to me. Let's start off with prayer. And then if I don't have the answer or it's not satisfactory, I will seek counsel from other Christians. Hey, what do you think about this? Somebody's offering $1 million. All I got to do is sign my name to it. There's no attachments. What's your opinion? Because I value the insight and I value the Holy Spirit operating in other people. Not that their word is the end all. Stop saying that. But you think it through. And then finally, I surrender it and go, you know what? I really can't decide, or I haven't made that ultimate decision. So I'm just going to surrender this to your hands, Lord, like you do in prayer. But that's even one step beyond. Maybe it's prayer number two, where you're just not sure about it. And you go, here, I'm not going to touch it until you tell me to do something with it. This scripture I want to read, and then we're going to close up, but it's practicality, and I want you to understand this. 2 Corinthians 2:12-13. When I came to the city of Troas to preach the good news of Christ, the Lord opened a door of opportunity for me. The Lord. But I had no peace of mind because my brother Titus had not yet arrived with a report from you, so I said goodbye and went to Macedonia to find him. Paul had an opportunity, something that opened up from the Lord, but he just didn't get that comfort zone. He used peace of mind and his relationship with the Lord to go, yeah, I'm not doing it. And that worked for him, works for us too. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life it feels like I've been running.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon experience?
John 7:24, stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment. That's all good. For 1 Corinthians 6:2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? You can't say Christians can't judge. They're commanded to. Here it is right here. Ready? Here's the bowling ball knocking down the pins. Every day as Christians, we have to judge what is appropriate, proper, healthy, and useful. Also, what people we believe we should hang out with, trust, believe in, or let influence, we have to judge that on a regular basis. When you choose your church, you're using your judgment abilities.
Bazinga.
I love that. Because listen, when you're choosing your church, you have to decide to pick one over another. Oh, here's the key. You're going to hate me. Ready? Here it is. If we have no ability to judge, we can't vote.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I had some reservation about what I was about to teach, and then we just heard that last little clip right there, so it gives me all the oomph I need. Sometimes the Holy Spirit has to go, hey, Dave, knock, 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 hello, it's me, do this. So I get to go through that too, just like you guys get to go through it, and I think it's pretty cool. So what we're going to do is move DNA into the next hour. Let me start with this Bible trivia. Jude is the last book before Revelation in the New Testament. Okay? 39 and 27. The book number 27 is Revelation. Book number 26 is Jude. It's one chapter. What verse in Jude talks about contending for the faith? Just that simple. What verse is it? You can call in 972-445-0770. You can do that. And then you get to touch Terrific T. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. What verse in the book of Jude, which is the one right before Revelation, and I want you to look it up if you don't know it, which verse talks about contending for the faith? You will fully understand that question in about, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, that many seconds. Okay, ready? All right. So I'm genuinely a nice guy. I don't fly off the handle too much. I have a limitation as to how much I will fly off a handle. I try to have a little bit of self-control, a little bit of restraint. That is, self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. I try to have it some. Here is the things, though, that push Dave. So you want to know, what is it that takes Dave for a long walk off a short pier? Okay, long walk, short pier. It means you fall off the edge.
Oh, dear God, no.
Yes, 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 here it comes. So yesterday there was a text by the not even close to a reverend, Raphael Warnock. And Raphael Warnock is the new senator in Georgia. Not even close to a pat. Not like here's a pastor and then there's a plate of cheese. Think of it in those terms. This is what the brilliance was. This is what he said. The meaning of Easter, he said this yesterday, is transcendent, more transcendent than the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Say what? Okay.
You already know this guy. Bag of Fritos is having more intellect than this guy is right now. I mean, come on. I mean, this already, it's ridiculous. The meaning of Easter is more transcendent than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Whether you are a Christian or not, through a commitment to helping others, we're able to save ourselves. So his theory, now what's worse is this guy is a senator. I won't even call him reverend because that's not fair. That's not fair to everybody who's genuinely a reverend. It's just horrible. He's saying it's beyond the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is absurd. And then whether you're a Christian or not, which is absurd, you can save yourself just by what you do for others, which is absurd. And the scripture is mighty clear about this. There are false teachers and false prophets,
And then there are newly elected senators that are not any smarter than a bag of Fritos. And here's the problem. You think, David, you're going to be judged. Go ahead. I'm good. I receive it. Because this judge not least ye be judged is based on hypocritical judgment. And this is a guy that is absolutely a false teacher, a false prophet, no question about it. Jesus said we need to be nice to the people, but he was never nice to the false prophets and never nice to the false teachers. If you read Matthew 23, you'll find out that Jesus called the false teachers, the Pharisees, and the legalists, he called them 15 different names. I didn't write the book. I can just read it. See Dick run. See Jane run. I can. It's not that hard. And Jesus said in Matthew 24 and in Matthew 7 and in Matthew 16, need I go on, that there will be false prophets and false teachers, and to be aware of that. In fact, these false teachers and false prophets were prophesied about. 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 3, Titus chapter 1, 1 John chapter 4, need I go on. The scripture says that we need to be aware that there are false teachers and false prophets. And the reality check is when somebody comes along and disses the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul said, whether it's me or an angel from heaven, let him be accursed. There's not a lot of room. I'm going to look for room in that. Nope. I just can't find it. Because we are called to stand in and contend for the faith once given to the saints. We are called to reject lies and leaders that perpetuate lies. We are called to be aware, and we can entrust their deserved judgment into the hands of God from an eternal perspective. The Lord will ultimately take care of it. That's good enough. But in the meantime, false teachings need to be challenged. And false teachers and false prophets need to be called out. By the way, this is the same guy that says you can't serve God and be in the army, using a passage in the gospel which has nothing to do with it. He substituted the word army for mammon or for money. Unbelievable. And people like him and people on cable television, even like Joe Scarborough, totally a false teacher, totally. Tells you all about Jesus, doesn't even believe in Jesus. The scripture says we're not supposed to even let these people in our house. Did you know that's what the scripture said? What? 1 John chapter 1, verse 10. If anyone comes to your meeting and does not teach the truth about Jesus, do not invite that person into your home or give any kind of encouragement. You think, wow, it seems like the Lord would be mad about that. Exactly. You don't let him in your home via the television, via the door, via the radio, via any other instrument, via the internet. You do not do it. And God doesn't say, well, I want you to think about it. No. Listen, we got to be merciful, and probably me more than you guys, to people that reject the gospel. Okay, I always have snarky responses. That's one thing. But false prophets and false teachers, that's an entirely different level. And oh, by the way, if we were in the Old Testament, nobody'd have to discuss this, because you know what happened to false teachers and false prophets? They were executed. Now, I don't think the New Testament gives any room for that, so that's not going to happen. And I think it's very clear that God will be their judge. But that doesn't mean you prop them up. That doesn't mean you let them in the house. That doesn't mean you shine a light on them and say, look how great they are, because they ain't. And ain't's in the dictionary. So bleh. Okay, but my point in that is you've got to have a sense of discernment. You've got to have a sense of, and here's somebody talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How much more important is the core teaching of Christianity? And this guy just completely Babylonians it. It's like, wow. And it needs to be called out. And when you have people that do that, you don't let them in your house. When I read that, I almost threw up. It's like, you got to be kidding. I had to put a snooze, not on the person, because I didn't like the person on my Facebook, just because I don't want to see anything like that. I won't even take it in. We'll be watching TV. I know you guys do this. You watch TV, and then sometimes they just drop a bunch of dreck right on you. You know what we do? We do this really funny thing. It's called a remote. And we go, fast forward. I ain't watching it. Or if you know it's an episode about that, bye. Guess what? There's a lot of really good, simple shows out there that don't talk about any of that stuff. And you can watch those. And you can watch movies. And you can be on websites that don't descend and degenerate. It's like a degeneration. That's a good word, right? They don't degenerate your mind. Keep away from that stuff. And don't let any of those people have any input in your life. Don't even let them in your house. It's false, it's false, it's false. And I can tell you right now, there's a few people that are going to get it from God, but the ones that are falsifying the gospel of Jesus Christ, they be at the top of the list. Okay? And in that passage, by the way, we did ask this question. We said, well, what verse is it that talks about contending for the faith once and for all delivered? That's Jude, verse 3. So props to Joy and Cordelia for getting that trivia question right. Jude, T and I are in sync. You just don't know that. Joy and Cordelia nailed that down. It's very important to understand. We have to contend at times for the faith. And what do you got to contend at? Well, people that are like Raphael Warnick, who have not a clue. And when I say a bag of Fritos is as smart as he is in regards to the gospel, in regards to biblical truth, I am correct. Okay? I mean, oh, that's so mean. Tough. That's my response. It's like, oh, you should be nicer. Well, the next segment, in the next hour, I'm going to be nicer. But there's a time to be angry and a time not to be. This is the time to be angry. When somebody tries to destroy, not just water down, that'd be one thing. There's a lot of churches that water down the gospel. This isn't watering down the gospel. This is replacing the gospel with rat poisoning. There's a big difference. And that is not okay. You understand why you don't want to meet me? In the side room. You getting this? Is this coming across? Okay. And I don't want you to think I'm angry at any of you. I'm just forcefully sharing what's inside of me as your big brother. As your big brother, you know. That's like the Dallas Stars losing a hockey game because the ref gave a bad call. It's unbelievable. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break. Top of the hour. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Is the David Spoon Experience.
This is Ray Bentley.
Ray Bentley, the man, the myth, the legend, on the show.
I was going to say that about you.
It has been four years and 6 months and 29 days since you've been live on the David Spoon Experience.
Oh, man, finally, I'm sliding in under the tag home safe.
You are finally safe. Okay. And so I'll tell the entire audience real simple. After this interview, you can either blame Ray
or you can bless Ray because it was his fault a year and a half ago on February 12th when he called me and said, you should be back on the radio.
You just point
to that guy. Okay. All right. First of all, Ray, I want to ask you a really important question to start everything off with. The time is yours. You determine how much time you've got. It's totally up to you. But I do want to just ask you this quick question. How you doing?
You know what? I am doing good. I'm doing great. I think these are exciting times. I feel like we're in an acceleration of things happening, of God moving, of kind of things that we thought about and imagined prophetically what it would look like. And it's like happening so much so fast with such acceleration. I'm like, I can't hardly keep up with it all. It's a great hour to look up and to encourage one another. You know, I do realize there's lots of challenges, and these are trying times, but out of the worst of times come the best of times.